You a Tom Petty guy, Paul?
I am, and I am a traveling Wilburys guy. Do you like? There you go.
We need end of the line before the end of the show here.
See, that's what we should have started out with.
Yeah, that's what we should have started
out
with.
End of the line for the Penguins. End of the line.
Top of the 1 o'clock hour, City Limits. Go with your original lowlights from the Penguins season and add, as the music bed, End of the Line by the Traveling Wilburys.
And we never even played the lowest of all lowlights that I was holding for later. That'll be exciting.
Which one was that?
Scoring in their own goal.
You know what I used to do?
Was that a lower light? Was scoring in your own goal on a delayed penalty with Letang and Gino worse than having a two-man advantage in a 3-3 game at the end of regulation and giving up a goal to lose?
Yeah.
Which is worse?
The 5-on-3, I think.
You, Limits?
I think the own goal is by far the worst.
I don't know, man. I have a 5-on-3 to end a game.
I have a 5-on-3 to end a game.
And they score?
And they score. That's pretty bad. You know, when I had my show at nights, I used to do, if the Pirates had a game, because I would be on after the Pirates. If the Pirates had a game where they got lit up like a Christmas tree,
yeah,
I would play the highlights of it, you know what I mean? Set to the music from that movie, Titanic. And it became sort of like a tradition. They'd have like a 15-3 game they lose or 20-0 game they would lose. It became a tradition. But the other thing is, prior to that, I used to play taps at the end of the season, like when the Steelers were eliminated or when the Penguins were eliminated. I used to play taps.
Did people like it?
They loved it. But then, of course, someone called and said it was, disrespectful to veterans. Okay. So that's when I went from playing taps to playing the movie Titanic.
Can you name every member of the Traveling Wilburys between you and Limits?
Orbison.
Can Limits name even one?
No.
Orbison, Petty, Bob Dylan. Oh my goodness,
one of the Beatles.
One of the Beatles. I'm sure it's not Harrison, is it?
George Harrison.
It's Harrison. Okay.
No relation to James or Josh.
And there's one guy that.
There's an underrated guy who just, you know, if you made a list and said which one doesn't fit, it's Jeff Lynne.
Yeah.
Right. No relation to Fred Lynne from the Red Sox.
Where is he from?
I don't know where he's from. He just showed up on the Wilburys. What team did he play for?
Jeff Lynne.
The Eagles? I don't know. Who was he with? ELO.
Yes.
He was with ELO.
ELO.
He was their quarterback.
He wrote Evil Woman, Living Thing, Telephone Line, Mr. Blue Sky, Don't Bring Me Down, Hold On Tight.
I mean, he's big time.
Yes.
But he just isn't quite in the same stratosphere as those other guys, right?
No.
He was a good free agent signing. Don't get me wrong. He helped solidify the ball club.
He's 76 years old right now.
Yeah.
Yes.
Three of them have passed.
And by the way,
Orbison,
in the 80s,
Petty,
and I guess his, if I'm reading his bio now, I guess how he came to be is in the 80s and the 90s, he did collaborations with some of the members of the Beatles, including George Harrison.
There you go. Why don't you play the End of the Line as soon as possible, City Limits, if you can find it. Just look up End of the Line, Wilburys. I need to feel better. This is depressing.
Okay.
I felt... Yeah, baby!
There we go.
Crank it up a little.
But it's all right.
It's not that bad.
All right.
Jared Jones throws 58 pitches or 59.
It's all right.
He's slated to throw 13 pitches in his next start. They may take him out after the second pitch, but it's all right.
He's got 10.
The Penguins will still be in it next year.
They're going to have Mike Sullivan and the whole band back.
The Steelers will still be in it with two games left.
The band will be back together, Joe.
They might still get in the playoffs.
It'll be like, you know, the Traveling Wilburys.
The non-losing streak's going to go to 18 seasons.
Bunch of stars that only lasted 4 years as a group.
Henry Davis will hit again.
All right.
Even though you're old and gray, well, it's all right. You feel better, Limits?
I feel so much better.
Oh,
yes.
Yeah,
the mood has been
this.
Brought up.
How do you not love this song?
Everybody in the world loves this song.
Oh,
if
how
it, once
can you
they
not
hear
love
it.
The Traveling Wilburys?
Do you like it, Limits?
I do. I didn't realize this was the Traveling Wilburys
yes,
that sung it.
It's the Wilburys.
They only lasted 4 years as a group.
Really?
Yeah, that was it.
That's because they were on a pitch count from
the
start.
That's what I said. They're like the Penguins. You know, the Penguins, you're keeping the band together.
Yeah.
The Traveling Wilburys tried to keep the band together, couldn't quite get it done.
Yeah, they reached the fifth inning.
That's right.
That was enough.
Bob Dylan was on a Jared Jones-like pitch count 4 years, and he was done. That was predetermined, too. We're only going to be together for 4 years, and we're going to quit, even though we're at the we're selling albums by the trillions.
It was like a scripted TV show.
That's right. Shelty came out and took Dylan right off stage one
Shelty.
Night.
Shelty.
Were they booing the band?
Oh, this sucks, doesn't it, Paul? A week ago, we were on top of the world. The Pirates
were on top
were...
of the world. Listen, think about this. A week ago, we were sitting here talking about what team the Penguins would match up with the best in the playoffs.
Right.
What team would have the biggest issue trying to play against the Penguins?
The golf clubs, apparently.
We were also floating out theories about the Florida Panthers from last year and how getting in is all it takes.
Gentlemen, start your golf carts, right? Is that the phrase that goes with this day?
Welcome to Flyers country.
Yeah, exactly. This is depressing, but that song did lift me up, and we have calls on the now infamous 59 pitch one hitter, don't we?
Right.
Oh, we have plenty. The lines are jammed.
Please start us off.
Bert in Blawnox begins.
Hello, Bert. I just drove through Blawnox. They have a wonderful music store, do they not?
Oh, yes, they do.
You ever go to Moondogs? Is that a place in Blawnox? Is that where they play music? Moondogs?
Yeah. Moondogs is there too. Yep. Starlight Lounge.
The Starlight Lounge. Paul has closed that place at least 50 times. What's happening?
Well, thanks for taking my call. And hey, no offense to Ron, but I kind of like the combo here with you two. But anyway.
Well, thanks.
I think Ron would probably be offended, but that's okay.
Probably.
But he's drunk in Fort Myers.
There you go. I called, I had a question, but I think you actually answered it toward the end of one of the segments there, which is that, I just find it hard to believe that these managers, like, you know, for example, Shelty, these are baseball guys, and I can't believe that he, you know, I feel like there's like these overlords that are forcing his hand to make these decisions.
You're absolutely right about that. I mean, I think one of the greatest misconceptions is that some of these decisions like that, some of these personnel decisions, some of these lineup decisions and things, that it comes 100% from the manager. There are absolutely
0%
overlords who basically, you know, dictate how much you play players, how many innings they're allowed to play, all that stuff.
Shelty had 0% to do with that decision last night. That was way above him. It was predetermined. The kid was going to throw five innings. Here's my thing, and I'll see if you agree.
Okay.
Is it Dave from Blawnox?
Bert.
Isn't that same thing? Bert, Dave.
Yeah. Close enough.
I think that if you have a guy, first of all, predetermining is stupid. That's the point I want to make, better phrased, and that you have to read the play a little bit. Like, not every five innings is created equally. Okay, so they predetermined five innings. Let's say we're at the Pirates round table. Dave from Blawnox, Paul and me and City Limits. You're Charrington, I'm Shelty. Paul, you're some analytics guy, and Dave. Is it Dave or Bill?
It's Bert.
Bert, you're somebody else. You're a doctor. You're Todd Tomczyk. We're all throwing this back and forth. We say, you know what? We're going to go five innings today with this guy for all these reasons. I would raise my voice and say, what do you mean? Like, what if he throws 59 pitches and 50 of them are for strikes and it's a very low event outing and we're only winning 1-0? You think he could throw 10 more pitches? And then maybe one of you guys says yes to that, of course, but we're obviously not going to see an outing like that. Well, we did. And like robots, they mechanically just went to their predetermined plan and probably cost themselves a game. They probably did in the end. But anyway, go ahead.
Yeah. Well, where was I? Well, I don't know. I just feel like, you know, somebody like Shelty, I feel for the guy now that if he's being, like, he's not even the manager, in my opinion.
No, there's, I mean, like, that's going way back, right? I mean, did you see the movie Moneyball? It was like they didn't even have a manager. Every decision was made. I think, was it Ken Maka? Who was the manager of that team?
Art Howe.
Art Howe.
Yeah.
Art Howe. Okay. Thank you, Dave.
Who was not very happy.
Bert.
Bert, yeah.
Bert.
Who was not very happy with his depiction in that movie, by the way.
No, he wasn't
not
very
at all.
Happy with it. But, man, the wind has been blowing in that direction for years.
Yeah. I mean, it's always been, you know, what happens is a lot of these younger, newer general manager types, and they have a lot of control over what goes on. And they claim they don't, but they do. We know they do.
Yeah, and listen, you're talking to a guy here who invented my own system for rating offensive linemen when I was like 11 years old. I used to sit there pathetically and chart these out. So I'm all for numbers in sports, but a lot of it is what you do with them. And when you become so dependent on analytics that you sort of neuter yourself, what good are you really doing? I mentioned hockey before. Lou Lamoriello's as old school as it gets. You could tell at some point this season, he said, I'm sick of this crap. Give me an ass kicker like Patrick Waugh in here, and let's see what we can do with him.
Yeah.
And guess what? They never lost in the final month of the season, practically. Jim Rutherford probably doesn't even use a computer. He probably uses a pencil and a pad to make deals and rate players. But at some point, you know, when he first got here, he said the Penguins stink in the playoffs because they're not tough enough in front of the other team's net. Nothing happens. They just got shut out by the Bruins for an entire series. I'm going to trade James Neal and bring in Patrick Hornquist because he kicks people's rear ends. So Kyle Dubas is here now, and he's Mr. Analytics. He is Mr. Analytics, and they're going to spend all kinds of money and probably already have on every advanced analytic that you can imagine, and the best numbers that he could find, and I'm sure they're exclusive to Kyle Dubas, you know, the way they have been with other teams in sports. The very best that his analytics could do for him was to go throw millions of dollars at Ryan Graves and Tristan Jarry. Right?
Yeah.
Right?
Definitely.
He made some good moves, but he also made some moves that are really hampering the franchise right now. So when it gets to baseball and you just become paralyzed by the analytics and completely subservient to analytics, then you have a problem. We're going to go with Jared Jones for 5 innings, no matter what happens. Well, what if he only throws 59 pitches and they're almost all good ones and we're winning 1-0? Do you think he could go an extra? No. No extra inning. No. 5 innings.
Right.
No pitch count. No nothing. 5 innings.
Yeah.
What? And I've got people all over the place, including on this station, defending what they saw last night.
So, were they talking of, Shelton say he was on an innings count or a pitch count?
Innings. He was going to go 5 innings no matter
okay,
what.
Okay. So my question, like, let's go completely ridiculous. What if he got one out? What if he had one pitch outs? So out of his 15 outs, let's say 7 of them are one pitch outs.
Right.
And he had, you know, a couple other, you know, 2 or 3 pitch outs. And he ended up with like a total of 30 pitches.
Exactly. I mean, that's pretty much what he did.
And better yet, Joe, what if he struggled, but the Pirates were still in the game?
Yeah.
And he only gave up 2 or 3 runs, but he had like 3 innings where he was just laboring.
Yeah,
you know
110
what I mean?
Pitches
yes,
in 5 innings.
Exactly.
Right. So don't tell me he was on an inning count when you know he was on a pitch count as well. Or put it this way. Like Paul just said, if the pitch count had gotten out of control high, he was coming out before 5 innings. So conversely, what if the pitch count is ridiculously low? Why can't he stay in an extra inning? It's just...
Well, the bulk at the very end of the year, everybody's going to look at, all right, he threw 189 pitches or innings.
Right.
But the bulk of what nobody seemingly is getting, at least from this perspective for the Pirates, is the quality of the innings.
Yes, like, that's what we're saying. Exactly.
Let's say he throws 79 pitches, which he could have done through eight. Okay, fine, he went eight innings. But shouldn't it be individually?
It should be
the number of pitches.
Yes, it should be the pitch count and the nature of the outing. Like, I go back to Perez from a couple outings ago. That dude could have pitched eight games in a row, and he wasn't putting any stress on his body. But that seemed to be an inning count as well. Put a sound effect to how you felt when this happened. I'll go first, then City Limits, then Paul.
Ugh. Great trio there.
Yes.
And that's how everybody felt.
Right.
Everybody. And I feel sometimes in sports, like, things happen. I'll be honest, especially sometimes with the Pirates, where we've been brainwashed into believing what they're doing. Like, you know, could be the payroll. Yeah, of course. Well, they can only afford $50 million on players. What did you expect? What do you mean, what did I expect? Well, of course it's predetermined. They're trying to protect these arms. You see all the injuries. They're just doing what's best. So a guy threw 59 pitches, 50 of them for strikes. Nobody could hit off him, and they're in a 1-0 game that they're probably going to need at the end of the season. They're still justified? No, they weren't justified. It was a ludicrous decision. You want to save innings, then skip his next start. If you wanted to save innings in the first place, then skip the start last night.
Well,
and have him go 6 days between starts again.
But that's what I said. You can do that. There's ways you can do that, that you can still save his innings or save his pitches or, you know. And here's the thing, Joe. It doesn't make any sense at all. Zero. That it's an innings count. It should be a pitch count. You're going to tell me you're limiting a guy.
I know.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
So, theoretically, let's play this out. I don't know. He has three innings out of those five where he's laboring and, you know, gets a couple of plays that – great defensive plays that save a run. But, you know, two or three guys got on. He walked the guy. You know, so he got – so you're telling me 110, 115 pitches. But as long as he gets it in five innings, that's all that matters. That's how dumb this has all become.
That's my other sound effect. If you want to, let's go double round here. My other one for this whole situation is, Limits?
Why?
Paul?
I can't even, you know, I mean, I can't even come up with, he came up with why.
No, that was good.
What the hell with it?
That was good what you just did.
The hell with it all.
Forget it. He threw 59 pitches.
That's the point.
And we're defending it.
Like, if it was 79 pitches over five, okay.
70. That's my other sound effect.
Well, they blew up the chicken man in Philly last night. Now they blew up his house, too.
Paul Zeiss with me today, along with City Limits, and hopefully you're on our internet feed, 93.7thefan.com, because if you are, you can watch Mark Cabali. Okay, the Pat McAfee Show's got nothing on us. We have Cabali on video here, Paul, which is very exciting for the masses.
Where is he at?
Where are you at? At your house?
No. Where is the video at?
Oh, the video is at 93.7thefan.com.
Well, let's pull it up.
Under the live video feed.
Let's pull it up.
Where are you right now, and how do we have him on video? Does he have a camera at his house?
He has a camera on his phone.
On your phone. You're just filming. Okay. All right.
It's actually called a laptop, Joe. But
yeah.
But see, you can hear me, right? Everything's working here, right?
Yeah, it doesn't sound that great. We get off to a rough start. His first comment is sarcastic towards me.
Sarcastic. It's a laptop. It's not a phone.
Right.
That was actually, you know what?
Idiot Joe.
It was but again, the idiot was City Limits, because he said he was on his phone. So we can at least say it was
him.
He's
on Limits. You're supposed to be the guy who's on top of things technologically.
He's on a young guy.
Whatever.
What?
He's on a device.
Young guy.
Whatever it
there is. He is. I see him in his baseball cap. What is that, a Georgetown hat? Is that what that is?
No, it's actually Port View Bulldogs, not the best 8-and-under baseball team in the Mon Valley area.
The Port View Bulldogs. Right?
There you go.
So maybe you're wearing your son's baseball hat. Is that what you're doing?
No. Actually, you can order those now. They do them for fundraisers.
I got one
that actually fit my big dome.
Hmm. All right, good. I'm glad.
Who's got the bigger dome, you or Malzy?
Malzy, easy.
Hmm.
Well, I was just going to say, is the Port View Bulldogs, are they in first place?
Well, they start their season on Saturday. I think Joe and Paul, you guys should come up to do your little fan youth baseball outing thing, majig.
I would consider that. Listen, you're a very smart man, observant of sports. We just got breaking news of like a gigantic story here that could have ripple effects in other sports as well, including the NFL, I might add, where Paul just reminded me Calvin Ridley was banned for a year. The NFL has had situations in its long ago past where guys have been banned for life. I don't know if they ever return. People like Alex Karras, Paul Hornung, this Jontay Porter, who's the brother of Michael Porter Jr. of the NBA champion Nuggets. This kid plays for the Raptors, gets a lifetime ban from the NBA for violating gambling rules. A lifetime ban. And it seems like he limited. Here's what they said. A league investigation found that Porter violated league rules by disclosing confidential information to sports bettors, limiting his own participation in one or more games for betting purposes, and betting on NBA games. This is a gigantic story, Mark. Have we reached the point where do you believe something like this could happen in the NFL? And there's more betting on that sport than any sport in the world, I believe. So what could be the ramifications of the proliferation of betting these days and of a situation like this? Because, man, I think you have to realize if you violate, you could be done for the rest of your career.
Yeah, I think obviously this is breaking news. I'm not too up to speed with it, but it sounds like he was, in with some dirty people there, right? So I think that's a sort of a trifecta, what you mentioned there with this basketball guy. You can't be able to be – there's a difference between, I guess, betting on your own team and providing information and sitting out in order to, shave points or something like that. It turns out to be the NFL. I think you'd have to – it'd be very difficult because who affects the game the most? I mean, you'd have to get a quarterback
or a kicker,
something like that. Yeah. So the lifetime ban on this, obviously, it seems like it's pretty significant of the people he was involved with was a pretty shady thing probably for a long time. In the NFL, it's a tough situation though, guys, because the NFL is so in bed with the betting organizations now and getting paid through it all that they have to let it not be known that this is not acceptable.
That's the thing. That's the thing, Paul.
Thing about it is this guy got caught because he was an idiot.
Yeah.
He was an idiot because he talked to some people and people around him, and eventually it got out. But the other part of it is he was an idiot because these were prop bets that were best, were bet on him. Where, these gambling outlets started to look at, why are people betting on prop bets involving Jontay Porter, and why all of a sudden is there all this money on these prop bets? But the thing about it, it's just like the NFL. I mean, if you can get to a quarterback or you can get to somebody that actually has, real control over some of the things that go on, I mean, this has got to be the worst nightmare for any commissioner, doesn't it?
I would think so. I mean, I know for a fact that the NFL brings people in and tells the players what is permitted, what's not permitted, when it's permitted to be able to bet like that. But if you find a right guy, say a quarterback who's, a journeyman quarterback who's not making very much money, and you get to this guy and you give him a boatload of cash to, throw a pick here and there – I'm sure it's possible, but I think it's more likely to happen in games like basketball. Basketball seems like that's ripe for the taking there, of where one guy can affect prop bets, can affect the total points of a game.
Mark Cabali on the Sullivan Super Service Fan Hotline, Pittsburgh's trusted HVAC and plumbing provider for over 50 years. You had a very interesting piece, within the last week, I think, Mark. The headline was this: why owner Art Rooney II deserves more credit for the Steelers' philosophical shift. Tell us what you think the philosophical shift has been in the simplest possible terms, and why he deserves credit.
Well, I don't think he is getting enough credit. I mean, Omar Khan's getting a ton of credit, and rightfully so. Tomlin somewhat did agree to reshaping this roster. But, nothing happens in this organization unless Art Rooney says yes or no. If he says yes, it's allowed to move forward. I mean, in years past, do you think that they go after a guy like Russell Wilson? Do you think that they cut or trade Kenny Pickett? Do you think they go after and give Patrick Queen that type of money? You think they make 9 trades within, a year and a half? No, this is all stuff that is signed off by Art Rooney. And you could say, okay, join the times. But, this organization has been in a, I don't want to say rut, but they've enjoyed success one way for so long. For a guy to be able to say, okay, no, this might not be working right now, so let's change it. This might be something that my father, my grandfather would not agree on, but okay, I don't care. We have to change here. And I don't think, like I said, anything happens in this organization unless Art Rooney says it does. And for everything that has happened and will happen here in the next week or so, if there's trades or whatnot, when I wouldn't roll any of that out, it's because Art Rooney says, yes, here's your blessing, go ahead and do what you need to do. And I think that's something that we have overlooked, a guy who's really, changed his thought of how to win. And he's 69, 70 years old, been running the team for 20 some odd years. It can't be an easy thing to do.
Well, I think the other part of it is when they let Omar Khan and Andy Weidel, sort of when they promoted them, it seems like they basically understood that this is a new era of football and that they needed these two guys who are, relatively young, what you would call younger guys, to sort of modernize the way they did business, right?
Yeah, but once again, if you have a organization that has been very successful over 50 years of doing it one way, why wouldn't that guy who is part of that say, hey, our way still works? He's saying our way still works, but it needs tweaks. Let's bring in Omar Khan. Let's bring in an assistant general manager, like you said, for the first time in team history to work things out. We pretty much turned over the entire coaching staff in 3 or 4 years. The scouting department's different. The way they do their business is different, even though there's some familiar names. Like the Mike Tomlins and the Art Rooneys are still controlling it. I do think, it might not work. I mean, this could be a disastrous season. Who knows? You have no clue right now. Even so, he has changed his way and thinks that they need to do something different. And he's allowed that to happen. Like I said, if he did not want Russell Wilson or Justin Fields, if he wanted Kenny Pickett to still be the quarterback, he would have still been the quarterback here. And I would like to believe that 5 years ago, no matter what would have happened, if you're using a 20th overall pick on a quarterback, he would still be here year 3 regardless.
We're finally putting our voices to good use. The Fan 5-Alarm Marathon will take place on June 6th and 7th as we raise funds for dozens of local volunteer fire departments. We'll broadcast live for over 26 hours from the Green Tree VFD. We definitely want you to come out to support this cause. To register your local VFD, go to 937thefan.com. The Fan 5-Alarm Marathon, presented by Allegiant Community Federal Credit Union and brought to you by Guardian Protection Services and ABC Fire Extinguishers. Mark Cabali on the line from The Athletic. What about this whole receiver situation, specifically Brandon Ayuk? Is there any chance that's going to happen?
I would say very limited, but I'm not going to rule out absolutely anything. We all should have learned that over the past 18 months, that anything is possible. You get into this draft, and all of a sudden, you know, the 49ers feel that they need to move on from him because they know they're not going to sign him. Who knows? The thing with Ayuk is I don't think the compensation's going to be an issue if whoever would and might trade for him or not trade for him. If it's a second round pick, if it's first round pick, who really cares in my eyes if you're getting a guy like that? The key is, do you want to be committed to a guy for $23, $24 million? Do you want to give him, you know, 3 years, $75 million, then a year from now have to pay George Pickens very similar to that money? So that contract is it's much more of a big deal than I think actually acquiring a guy like that. Would I love him? Yes. But I just don't know if you want to invest, you know, $30 million or $25 million in Ayuk and another $25 million per season in George Pickens next year. Then all of a sudden you have to understand they're only paying $6 million bucks for three quarterbacks right now. That will change if things work out like they want to this year. So I think that contract might be the big stickler and the reason why. I think they'll go something a little bit cheaper, or at least try to. But I think they will address it outside of the draft here, either before the draft, during the draft, after the draft, of a receiver, because you can't go into the season with what they have right now.
Well, they have to figure it out. And the thing about it is they've got other issues to address in the first round of the draft. Everything I've read from all of you mock draft guys suggests that the offensive lineman is on their radar for the first round. And if that's the case, then they absolutely need to go get a receiver, don't they, somewhere else?
Yeah. I mean, this, it's a deep receiver class, and you've heard that forever, that, you know, you can get guys rounds 2 through 5 that could be starters. But that doesn't help them this year. I mean, there's only a handful of guys that come in and were successful year one as a rookie. I mean, a couple off the top of my head, you know, non-first rounders, you know, or guys like Anquan Boldin, right? Puka Nacua from last year. I mean, Puka Nacua was a star 5th-round pick. How many times has that ever happened? You need a guy this year. You can't rely on Van Jefferson, Quez Watkins, and Denzel Mims and all the other guys that they brought in. You need somebody with some experience right now. So even if they do get one in the draft, I think they still have to add a veteran, a guy who can come in and play at some point. And it's just a point of Omar, which he's really good at, is being patient. He's going to wait till it comes to them. If it has to wait till, you know, if it has to wait till June, if it has to wait till July or what, preseason, to be able to find somebody there. But yeah, they have to address that anywhere between the second. And you see with the guys they brought in for the pre-draft visits, it's not a secret. They brought in linemen and receivers for the most part. So, you know, that's what they're pretty much interested in the first 2 days.
Thank you, Dr. Cabali.
All right, Joe.
Thank you,
nice,
man.
Nice to see you.
You're a wonderful man. Paul agrees.
Good luck to the Port View Bulldogs.
Yeah, big Wes Mifflin. Let's go Bulldogs, right?
See you, buddy.
All right, we'll see you guys.
50-minute mark on the Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Jeep. Is he still there? Are you saying goodbye to him, City
we
Limits?
We did.
I think he's gone.
He's gone? I meant to ask him about the kickoff rule. What am I missing? And I fully admit that there are some very obvious things that I don't see until others do. But, Paul, right now they kick the ball out of the end zone all the time.
Right.
And teams put it on the 25. So I've heard people say, oh, they're adopting the XFL rule now. No, they're not. The XFL rule, if you kick it out of the end zone, the other team gets it on the 35. That's a 10. That would be a 10-yard difference. The NFL shrunk that to the 30. So tell me why teams won't still kick the ball out of the end zone and put it on the 30.
For 5 yards.
Unless I'm missing something. Am I?
No, you're not.
Limits?
I've said it many times. If for 5 yards, it's not enough of a deterrent. And so since it's not enough of a deterrent, then to me, it's like, why do it?
Why risk why kick into the designated zone and all this crap? Just boot it out of the end zone. They get it at the 30. They just got it at the 25. Unless I have it wrong. And Paul's telling me I have it right, all the details.
Yeah, I think you have it right.
I have said this from day one, okay? Why not, if you really want to make it the deterrent, if you kick it out of the field of play anyway, left, right, out of the end of the end zone, if it is not in the field of play, meaning there's got, you know, like, so you kick it out of bounds or you kick it out of the end zone. And I would even say if you kick it into the end zone, which means you've got to, you know, develop a way to kick it short.
Yeah, short of the goal line and in play.
If there's not a return, the other team gets it at the 50.
That would be a deterrent.
Now, all of a sudden, teams would figure out how to kick it inbounds.
Yes.
And make sure they don't kick it out of bounds.
I like that better than what they're doing.
Right.
50-minute mark on the Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Jeep Dodge, Route 19, Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. We have a Penguin, what would you call it, funeral song coming up here. It's all over. It's all over right now. And City Limits has a musical tribute, if you want to call it that, to their season. They were officially eliminated last night. Nice try at the end. It was fun for a while, but all the damage they did to themselves for months and months came back to haunt them. So if you're mad about old Torts pulling his goalie and things like that, that's what you set yourselves up for, is scenarios like that, by allowing another team to score when you're the team that has a 5-on-3 with 2 minutes left in the game. Things like that. When you allow the Buffalo Sabres to come back from 2-0 in the third period and you don't even get a point by going to overtime, they score 3 straight. By putting the puck into your own net on a delayed penalty. Although, as they say, Limits, at least the Penguins scored on the power play that night, right? All of that added up in the end, and they got what they deserved. They did. Let's talk about it next. Paul is advocating the firing of Mike Sullivan. I'm certainly not against it. We both are advocating find any way you can to deal Tristan Jarry and approach Gino about trying to find a way to move him, and maybe Letang as well.